The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. For more than a decade, he's been your destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Good morning, Chris. You are a godsend to the listening communities that you serve with that voice of yours.
I turn to you just like I turn to Rush.
I'm a fan of Chris DeGaulle.
To reduce the deficit without raising a penny in taxes on people making under $400,000 a year.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
Hey, great to have you here. It's the Thursday edition of the show. Telephone number is 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. So, true story. I'm in the convenience store yesterday getting gas. I go into the store to get a cup of coffee, standing in line waiting to pay, and there's a guy at an adjacent counter scratching some lottery tickets. I don't know, five or six of them, diligently working away, and another guy enters the store, recognizes him, they're friends, I guess, or acquaintances. He says, "Hey, man, what's up? How you doing?" And I want to make sure I've got just the right verbiage here, because it, without missing a beat, the guy's response to this amused me deeply. He says, "Just trying to make up for Biden's paradise." That strikes me so profound now, because it occurs to me that it's middle of the day. These are two working class guys going about their day, taking a break, taking a lunch, whatever. I don't know, like me. They're just taking it, you know, filling up with gas, out running errands or whatever, maybe on their lunch break. Clearly working class guys. I mean, they actually, you know, maybe even their clothes looked like they'd maybe been working on equipment or cars or something. This guy's scratching lotto tickets, just trying to make up for Biden's paradise. And I sat with that most of the day yesterday, thinking to myself, is this all a colossal, colossal overreach, the likes of which we've never seen? Do you think what they're doing to Trump is actually going to have deeper political repercussions than any of us really understand? Maybe that's just being hopeful. I don't want to promise anything. I'm not making any predictions. I'm just struck that, you know, for instance, Trump is deposed by the New York Attorney General over his business practices just 2 days after his home is raided in Florida. You go over to that little twerpy Stephen Colbert show and just listen to their glee.
"Of course, it may be hot out there. You're the heroes. Stay hydrated. It may be hot outside, but in here, it's Christmas. Because yesterday, we all got the present we wanted. FBI agents raided Mar-a-Lago. Oh, oh, oh. That's the most beautiful sentence America has ever produced. It's right up there with 'We put cheese inside the crust.'"
Yeah. So they're having quite a time. Meanwhile, Dr. Fauci returns to the scene and basically tells you, "I don't know what your opposition to masks is, but it's starting to really piss me off. I don't like it very much."
"When you tell people they need to mask in an indoor congregate setting when you're in a zone that has a high dynamic of infection, and that is looked upon by a lot of people, not everybody, as an encroachment on your freedom. We've never had that before. I mean, it's almost inexplicable."
Right. Daniel Henninger at the Wall Street Journal. I'll have more of it coming up. Mar-a-Lago search shows the swamp's Trump obsession. I look at all of these things. One more. Have you seen how the IRS is arming itself? From Breitbart, IRS special agents must carry a firearm, be willing to use deadly force. Job listing for the position of IRS Criminal Investigation Special Unit stresses that applicants must carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force in order to carry out their duties. The job listing says, as a special agent, you will combine your accounting skills with law enforcement skills to investigate financial crimes. Special agents are duly sworn by law enforcement officers who are trained to follow the money. No matter what the source, all income earned, both legal and illegal, has the potential of becoming involved in crimes which fall within the investigative jurisdiction of the IRS. Because of the expertise required to conduct these complex financial investigations, IRS special agents are considered the premier financial investigators for the federal government. And then it goes on to describe special agent major duties, which include carrying a firearm and being willing to use deadly force if necessary. It says you must also be willing to be able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments. You getting the flavor? You getting where I'm going here? Without offering you any commentary whatsoever, has that sent a chill down your spine?
A forceful IRS? Yeah, that's a little creepy.
But don't underestimate the twerpy little Fauci showing up again and getting pissed at you that you won't strap a mask back to your face. That was the ultimate in control. And I know that a lot of people don't see it that way, but it is, because it's unscientific and it's another form. It was the original form. Folks, before the Mar-a-Lago raid, before an armed IRS, there was COVID. And you just can't ignore what COVID did to this public. It broke millions of Americans into submission. People are in a perpetual piddling puppy submissiveness because of COVID. And so many Americans, so many of your fellow Americans are willing to do whatever they must. And COVID started the trend. COVID started it all. But what it can't hide, what you can't avoid, and that's where I go back to the guy who's scratching lottery tickets, what you can't avoid is what really people are feeling out there. What is real? All this authoritarianism is haunting. It's chilling. But what we all really understand and know is how wrecked this economy and this country is. I mean, what are the chances this raid was an effort to galvanize support for Trump? I don't know. I've heard that theorized. John Hayward suggested as much. I don't know that that's the case. I could see it as an ancillary benefit, perhaps. But it's such a breathtaking. I mean, really what happened at Mar-a-Lago is breathtaking. It's hard to make sense of, honestly, from a political point of view. I mean, if they thought they could fix every election going forward, then I guess okay. Maybe that's what they're banking on. I don't know. Or is the calculation that this will boost their turnout? Will this energize and excite Democrats to vote? I have a hard time getting there. I mean, I guess definitely for 2024 if Trump decides to run, maybe. But why clear the field for DeSantis, who waits in the wings if, in fact, they're going to achieve their ultimate goal in slaying Trump? It doesn't make sense. Are they trying to provoke violence? Maybe set up another phony insurrection? Ultimately, it's a massive distraction, of course, making Trump the center of attention. Trump, abortion, the Inflation Reduction Bill. None of that distracts from what that guy at the convenience store was saying yesterday. He's scratching tickets to try to win some money to pay his bills because of Biden's paradise. So on top of all this authoritarianism we're watching, people's economic situations are broken too. Trump isn't on the ballot this fall, by the way, just in case you didn't know. Trump is not going to appear on anyone's ballot. I could see the raid as an appeal to Democrats, something to, I don't know, build on the energy of abortion or something. Democrats cannot afford to lose both chambers. I've really been thinking about this because it's almost boring to just talk about the audaciousness of it. There's a why behind everything. Obviously, it was audacious. Obviously, it was unprecedented. Obviously, we've never seen anything like this in American history. It's shameful. It's disgusting. It's duplicitous. But there's a why. And that's what's got me puzzled. Democrats cannot afford to lose both chambers. So job one, I guess, is to limit the damage. So was the raid a fishing expedition? Probably. Was it an effort to help an indictment? Probably. An effort to destroy Trump? Probably. But it was probably also an attempt to fire up the base, I suppose, raise more money, get guys like Stephen Colbert, and the clapping seals in his audience cheering their excitement, I guess. And, of course, a big distraction to give the media a reason to ignore the destructive politics of the Democrat Party. Yesterday, inflation number came out toward the... Well, it was late morning, so I wasn't able to get to it during the show here, but this Jared Bernstein guy, one of the more insufferable punks I've ever seen on television, this guy is so loathsome. Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino, two of the nicest people on television, were incredulous at this slimeball's explanation of the IRS. Take a listen to their discussion with him. Let's just start at the beginning.
Can you say today that inflation has peaked in America, given these numbers?
What I can say today is that inflation went up 0% in the month of July. This is the first month in over a year that inflation did not go up, held down by an 8% decline in the price of retail gas.
This goes on.
Why does America need 87,000 new agents?
So, look, I think that this reporting has been pretty convoluted. Here, I want to quote something from the commissioner of the IRS, Commissioner Rettig. These resources, he's talking about the reason, what you're referring to is resources in the Inflation Reduction Act to reverse what I call a shadow tax cut, which is the long-term defunding of the IRS to facilitate tax evasion by wealthy evaders. Here's what Commissioner Rettig said. These IRA resources are absolutely not about increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle-income Americans. As we have been planning, and he's the commissioner, so he knows what they're planning, our investment of these enforcement resources is designed around Treasury's directive that audit rates will not rise relative to recent years for households making under $400,000. In other words, IRA resources will not add to audits for households under $400,000, and those same households will not see one penny increase in their taxes based on proposals in the Inflation Reduction Act. So let's just make sure the record's clear on that point.
Oh, yeah. And Bill and Dana trust this implicitly. Even they, who are uber polite, are sitting there incredulously listening to this buffoon. Well, let me quote. So confident in what he was saying, he had to read a prepared script of comments from someone else. Well, let me read what the IRS promises. Yeah, that's comforting. Don't you love when a guy is on television assuring you that the IRS isn't coming after you by reading a quote from the IRS assuring you they're not coming after you? Really good stuff there, Bernstein. Boy, you're hot, man. Well, I don't know why they haven't trotted you out earlier as a messenger. You're like on fire. Wow. The White House messaging here. Woo. This gives Pepe Le Pew a run for her money. You're good, man. They sent out the White House economics advisor to read a quote from the IRS director. So Bill and Dana aren't done. They're buying none of this.
Have you ever been audited, sir?
I've never been audited. I actually have a great record in paying my taxes, and I suspect most people who are listening to my voice would say the same thing.
Even people who are audited.
So, most people
have to prove their innocence.
Yeah, most people haven't been audited. So, look, here's the thing.
You shouldn't
evade your taxes. I shouldn't ought to have to say that, but there's my public service announcement. It is illegal to evade taxes, and if you do so, you may well be audited.
So which is it? You're not going to be audited, or you may well be audited? I don't know. He's terrible. This guy's terrible. You shouldn't evade your taxes. That's his answer. You ever been audited, sir? I pay my taxes. Of course not. To which Bill and Dana correctly say, you do know that people that pay their taxes get audited all the time, right? Like it's happening right now. You know that, right? Well, pay your taxes. Any of you been in an audit? Any of you been through an audit? Were you audited because you were a criminal who wasn't paying your taxes? I could take phone calls all morning long from people who have been audited. In most cases, I'll bet most of this audience that's been audited found out they were owed money, but what they ended up having to spend to defend themselves in an audit cost them more than they were owed. I'll bet most of the people in this audience who have been audited, it cost them $4,000 to $5,000 minimum, and nothing was found. Well, if you pay your taxes, you don't have anything to worry about. Do you hear these people talk? Have you ever been audited, sir? Do you know what it is to have the heavy hand of government, the jackbooted thugs on the back of your neck? Do you know what that is? I want these two clips in particular of Bernstein and Fauci, I think are, again, these are voices from hell. This is the type of attitude that raids the former president's home. Just a different subject, that's all. Listen again.
When you tell people they need to mask in an indoor congregate setting when you're in a zone that has a high dynamic of infection, and that is looked upon by a lot of people, not everybody, as an encroachment on your freedom. We've never had that before. It's almost inexplicable.
Right. Yeah. You're really annoying him. He's really pissed at you. He's getting really tired of you people that don't want to wear masks. And then Mr. Bernstein, you ever been audited, sir?
Have you ever been audited, sir?
I've never been audited. I actually have a great record in paying my taxes, and I suspect most people who are listening to my voice would say the same thing.
Even people who are audited.
So, most people
have to prove their innocence.
Yeah, most people haven't been audited. So, look, here's the thing. You shouldn't evade your taxes. I shouldn't ought to have to say that, but there's my public service announcement. It is illegal to evade taxes, and if you do so, you may well be audited.
Daniel Henninger at the Wall Street Journal. You can hate Donald Trump until your eyes pop out, but let's be clear. He was elected the 45th president of the United States. He served 4 years in office. No former president who was disliked by many, not Clinton, Reagan, FDR, had his home invaded by a squad of FBI agents. This should never happen in the United States. End of discussion. And now IRS agents are arming themselves, and their spokespeople are going out there saying, you have nothing to fear as long as you're doing what is legal. Wink. Dr. Fauci, I've never encountered such insolence from people who will not wear a mask, talking about their freedom all the time. And again, all of this authoritarianism against the backdrop of 40-year high inflation. Folks, I don't know what's going on. I don't have the full picture of what's in the Democrat playbook here. Harmeet Dillon said she doesn't think these people are really three-dimensional chess players. She thinks they're just emotional wackos who are going for the mental masturbation right now. And it does seem like they're actually pleasuring themselves to Trump's hate. Like it's like watching political pornography. They're just going, can you imagine 2 days after you raid his home, then you depose him over his finances in New York? You don't wait like a day or two. Like you talk about just, this is, all I could do is think to put it in dirty terms. So I'm going to try to, I'll clean it up for FCC purposes. It's This is like a really early into your honeymoon. You were kind of thinking that it was going to last all night, and that was it? 5 minutes, and you're rolling over? That's what the Democrats are doing this week. I mean, they're giving it all right now. Right now. Like, here it is. This is the best I got. All against 40-year high inflation. People are broke. And they're out there trying to tell you this is good news. So they're gaslighting you on top of all of the authoritarianism. I don't know how it ends politically, but Byron York, Daniel Henninger, several other of my, you know, media colleagues tend to think that this ends poorly for Democrats, that they have way overplayed their hand here. We'll see. The fall is going to be very, very telling.
I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price. All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone? And I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Tell me.
Do you know that somebody at CBS Philly wrote yesterday on their Facebook page as they posted about gas prices falling, no more stress as gas prices fall to $4 a gallon? That was literally their headline on Facebook. No more stress.
Yay.
I couldn't believe someone wrote it. I never comment on Facebook posts, ever, ever. Like, I make my own posts, and then I move on. That one I stopped. And I said, who writes no more stress in the middle of 40-year high inflation? Who writes that? Just honest question. Hoping that maybe someone who posts something like that would actually take 5 seconds to consider what they'd written and go, yeah, that was kind of stupid. Maybe. I don't know. Any introspection at all? No more stress. Gas is, again, as if this is something to celebrate. Gas prices are down. Okay. Well, then what does that mean? People will start feeling a little more inclined to buy it, even though it's still over twice as much as it was 2 years ago. Okay, so we'll feel a little, again, the hammer's hitting us in the head a little less hard. So we buy a little more of it. Guess what? The United States isn't stepping up production of it. So that means as people buy more of it, less of it is available on the open market, which makes something more expensive. Everybody understands supply and demand. Less stress. Gas prices down. Oh, inflation's down. Okay, 8.5 in July, over 9.1 for June. Hooray! U.S. consumer prices unchanged in July as cost of gasoline tumbles, says Reuters. It's really remarkable. We'll get into that coming up. Let's head to the phones. 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. Brian in South Philadelphia. Brian, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. I love your show. I've been listening to you since the very first day I heard you.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
I start my day with you every day, pal. And here's my spiel, and it's a little lengthy, but I'll try to wrap it up as quick. I've been audited 4 times by the IRS, and my accountant is a former IRS CPA.
And it's because you're a big tax cheat, right?
Must be. But anyway,
that's what they say. As long as you, real quick. I'm just saying, this Bernstein guy says, hey, you don't have anything to sweat. You pay your taxes, you'll be fine. That's what he says. So you must have not paid your taxes 4 times.
Let me just run through this real quick to let people know what you're up against. I was an independent contractor, 1099 guy, so you're allowed to claim stuff. So I had a home office. Do you know that when you have a home office that allows the IRS to walk into your house without a search warrant?
I did not know
That's
that.
True.
Without a warrant.
Oh, yeah. Correct. So I lost the first one. I paid 10 grand. I thought, okay. So my guy, and he goes, bye, you won't get audited again. We collected my tax returns the way they told me to. Bang, second audit comes, we win. I got $8,000 or $9,000 from them. Third audit comes, we win again, and I get like $6,000. Fourth audit comes again, we win again, And each time we're crafting my IRS tax returns by what they tell me to do. Now, let me just this, and I'll leave you with this. We go to the fourth one, right? And they go, well, we need to see all these different things from the first audit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, well, we don't have any records of the documentation you provided for the first audit. I'm like, okay. So my wife, God bless this girl, we had a box for every audit. Chris, I went into Center City to the IRS with my boxes. I dropped them on the floor. I said, you copy these, and I want them back right now. And then here's the final straw. When we got to the fourth one, my guy goes into Center City, and the lady who's doing the audit goes, we're going to transfer this to another IRS agent to have him look it over. And he goes, I want to see your supervisor right now. And she goes, he's not here today. He goes, I know he is. I worked in this building for 25 years. I want to see him now. Guy comes out, looks at my CPA's stuff, and says, pay him. And that was $10,000. And then he goes, if you audit us again, because we won three in a row, when you win three in a row, you're allowed to sue them bastards. That's the stuff
really?
I went through. Yeah, really. I'm telling you, this is from the Bible, my hand on the Bible, to you, Chris. This is what they did to me. All right?
So what are we to take from this, Brian? I mean, hearing your story, what are we to take from this? When they say they're going to hire 87,000 new agents, they got guns, we've learned now, using firearms as part of the job, apparently, now. What are we to take from this?
Well, I mean, don't forget, like I said, they walked right in my house and looked at my office.
Yeah.
Without a search warrant, I couldn't stop it. And this is just an expansion of power. It's coming. And you better start to make sure that you do your things right or else they are going to come.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your call. I had a funny feeling we'd hear stories like these. How about Robin in Orland? Robin, glad you called. Good morning.
Thanks for having me. I just, with everything that's going on in this political environment, our government is so corrupt and perverse right now under this administration. You know, when are people going to wake up and start educating the electorate on calling a constitutional convention and turning this around before we end up in another revolution?
What do you think is the political outcome of this, like the immediate political outcome, if you were to guess?
I think it's a domino effect, you know. Unchecked power goes unchecked, and it grows. So, you know, a lot of people are just rolling over and saying, well, that's what we have to do. And it's not. Like, you know, for instance, what they did to Trump in Mar-a-Lago, by law, his attorney should have had the right to be there to witness any search, but they wouldn't let her in. You know, and the FBI is now turning into the SS of the liberal left.
Hey, Robin, let me ask you a question. This is just, I'm just volleying this out there generally. Why are we not great at mobilizing our outrage, our righteous anger? Why are we not, and I say just kind of as a collective, you want to call us conservatives or Republican voters or what? Why don't we do that? We're not very good at that. Is that fair?
Yes, it's fair, totally fair. There's very little engagement by most voters. Most voters, it's a last week decision on what they've seen in the media. They really, most people, you know, don't educate themselves towards the policies. They think on emotion from whatever they hear from the media about, you know, pick a subject.
Like, Robin, is there somebody, let me just, I'll boil this down to just kind of a basic ask. You're not on trial here. I don't mean to, there's no right answer. I'm just curious. Do you think there's anyone in Pennsylvania still imagining that Oz, he's a rhino, I'm not voting for him this fall. Screw him. Yeah, could there possibly be people out there after this week still saying that?
You know, I think, unfortunately, I think so. I think a lot of Republicans, traditionally Republican voters right now is, you know, Democrats will always vote Democrat, but a Republican will stay home if they don't like their candidate.
And do you think we've reached a level of such unprecedented authoritarianism in this country that it would be, would you call it almost a dereliction of duty as a citizen, as a voter, to take that attitude now? I would. I'll just say it for myself. I'm not going to put it on you, but I'll say it. I think it's a dereliction of duty. I think anybody that would dare sit home now and say, screw Oz, I liked Kathy. I after this week, I think you're a crazy person who, I mean, I mean, welcome to the IRS raid, I guess, is all I have to say to you. Yeah. Like, why would you not vote? I don't mean you.
And I thought probably one of the biggest power grabs that happened was actually under the Patriot Act, the expansion of the Patriot Act. You know, this is supposed to be finding out terrorists from 9/11 that crashed a plane into a building. Now it's being used to, rally up moms and dads that are mad at their school boards.
That's right. And we're still taking off shoes and belts and all that stuff. You're exactly right. No, like, I'm not saying the Republican Party doesn't need to be purged and overhauled and gutted and held responsible and accountable. Of course they do. But given what we have, the tools we have to go to war this fall in the immediate, I can't imagine people deciding that they're going to sit this out. It's like beyond me, Robin. I know you're right. There are people in this audience that are still ticked off about Oz being the nominee and are still going to sit it out. It baffles me that we would let John Fetterman become the next United States senator, given what's happened this week. It baffles my mind.
I mean, he's a proud socialist.
Yes, he
is. He's proud of it. I'm pretty sure he probably has a tattoo on his arm of the hammer and sickle at this point.
And it baffles me that there are Republicans in Pennsylvania that are so concerned about Doug Mastriano, they would rather support a Democrat governor who will provide us no protection from government overreach at the federal level. And we've seen what they're capable of. You need governors who are going to be bulwarks, hardliners against the federal government like DeSantis. You think Shapiro is that? No. There's some Republican voters with heads squarely up their rectum still at this hour after this audacious week in American politics. And that's what I can't figure out, Rob. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on trial on behalf of all of those people.
No worries.
I don't even know that that's who you are. I'm just curious.
That's why we have the power to call a constitutional convention and people out there need to start educating the citizenry and what exactly a constitutional convention is so we can start turning over some of these, the Patriot Act, some of these overreaching laws and policies and start returning power to the people.
Great to hear from you, Robin. Thanks for your phone call. 610-850-0990. Let's go to Paul in King of Prussia. Paul, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Morning. So, you can't make this stuff up, right? So I had a legitimate error on a tax return, and I got a letter that said, you made an error, right? Send us a check. So, we write the bullet, we sent the check. And 3 months later, we got another letter that said, you never sent us the check because we sent a U.S. postal and it got lost. So we canceled the check and we sent him another check. And 2 months later, we got another letter that said, you have an erroneous overpayment. You get a refund for the exact same amount of the first two checks we sent. So we took that check from the IRS and we cashed that check. And then 3 months later, we got a letter from the IRS that said the overpayment refund was an error. You need to send us that money back. And it was signed by the manager of the erroneous refund department. So they have a whole organization that's got a whole team and managers paid to cover the screw-ups of people who,
How would you like to have on your business card that you're a manager in the erroneous whatever department? How about your job title having erroneous in it?
I used to work for a guy who would start his presentations by saying, I'm an expert on why projects fail. And I said, I think you want to rethink how you present yourself. So, good luck.
That sounds like every radio consultant I've ever met. Same deal. It's the consultant types, right? Yeah. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it. Unbelievable. The erroneous overpayment department. That sounds like something straight out of The Office. That sounds like a Steve Carell bit.
Yeah, but Chris, I mean, I myself haven't been audited, but I've encountered two audits with a charity organization that I work with. Right. This is a long time ago, so we don't have to worry about things popping back up, but. All you have to, like, I hate to say this, but the people in government are so stupid, if that makes any sense, because all we did was flood them with all of the papers. Like, I mean, just massive amounts of papers. And both times, just like, okay, you're good. Good to go.
Like the- Josh Hawley last night with Jesse Waters.
Yeah, and I'd like to know what it was they were looking for in the first place. I mean, this is what Garland owes the American people, an explanation. And frankly, so does Joe Biden, because I don't believe for a minute, not for a minute, that the White House was totally in the dark on this. This is Joe Biden's FBI. It is Joe Biden's DOJ. And they have weaponized this FBI at every turn. They sent it after parents and called them domestic terrorists. This is an administration that tried to set up a disinformation board to police the speech of Americans who questioned the vaccine, who had questions about masks. This is an administration that is totally, totally out of control. And I tell you, it will take a long time to repair the basic constitutional norms and democratic norms here that this administration is trampling. But Jesse, what this makes clear to me above all is that though our constitutional framework of government is strong, and I believe that, we have deep, deep corruption in our government. Deep corruption.
Yeah, you got to pull it out from the roots.
And we're going to have to make it a focus to root it out.
Yep. Yep, he's right. I mean, listen to frequent guest on this show. We've reached out to him, by the way, to get him on. Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry, whose cell phone was seized. Give me 88 here, Fast Eddie, talking yesterday to Brian Kilmeade, filling in for Tucker Carlson last night.
When did they confront you? What day?
Yesterday. What was yesterday? Okay. It was Tuesday morning.
Now, the president's house was raided Monday. Do you think they're linked?
Right. I think all of this is linked. Of course it is.
And what do you think they're looking for?
Look, I don't know. Like I said, we asked. I'm not a target of the investigation, so I can't really speculate. I don't know what they're looking for, but they came and took my cell phone, even though I'm not a target, which right. is,
so
you think about that.
This is what I'm
usually
getting
if somebody,
at. Congressman, this is what I'm getting at. The National Guard, FBI said, although the Trump family has not seen the warrant yet, the FBI said, we're here on behalf of the National Archives. Okay. So the National Archives, or is this about January 6th? What do you think?
Boy, here's what I think. I think that they're scared to death that President Donald Trump is going to come back in 2024 and win re-election, and they're going to do every single thing that they can to make sure that doesn't happen, including make up some kind of charges from the National Archives. I mean, quite honestly, it's absurd. If it's the National Archives, I mean, the president is the ultimate classification authority. You know, saying he took classified information out, you know, he's the classifier. James Comey leaked classified information to get a special counsel. Hillary Clinton, well, you know, we don't know the extent of the classified information she had on her private server. No accountability whatsoever. But somehow, right. Do they think that President Trump packed the boxes at the White House to take to Mar-a-Lago? I think this is all about 2024 and their disdain for President Trump and the fact that they know he's coming back and likely to beat their candidate, Joe Biden.
A United States congressman pulled over. Hand me your phone. You're not a target, though. Don't worry. So if a United States president, former president, his home can be raided, and they can just indiscriminately grab whatever they want, if a United States congressman can be pulled over by the FBI and ordered to hand over his cell phone, I ask again, how do you like your odds? You know, Barack Obama wrote a book called The Dreams of My Father. We're living the dreams of Barack Obama's father. This is the fundamental transformation that Barack Obama had always dreamed and started to make happen under his regime with Obamacare, hijacking a sixth of the economy, taking over car companies and banks for a period of time, telling them that he was the one that stood between the people on these boards and the pitchforks of the American public, that basically he could make the public turn on them if they didn't obey and do what he wanted. Barack Obama's the guy that ushered this in back in 2008. And we're living that now on steroids. This is Barack Obama's dreams of my father. Cheryl Atkinson is on the way. Paris Denard is on the way today. And, of course, your calls at 610-850-0990. In fact, if you're caller number 9 right now, you use that number.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Hey, your show is awesome.
Hi, good morning. Love you. Love your staff. Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Love you and Fans Daddy and the show.
You guys are doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much, Chris.
News that came out today relative to the economy. Actually, I just want to say a number. Zero. Today, we received news that our economy had 0% inflation in the month of July.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
That's a really great trick. These people are so deceptive. The forked tongue of these people is the most remarkable thing that we've ever watched. Do you know what he's done there? Inflation in July was 8.5, down from the previous month of around 9. So he said in July we had 0% inflation. Now, I don't know how you get that math, but let me explain what they're trying to do. That's like saying, in June I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. They've been monitoring it and treating it. It has not spread to any other organs. As of July, the cancer has been contained to my lungs. So I have zero cancer. Does anyone talk like that when you're talking about an illness? I have zero illness because my illness is not worse this month than last. I have zero illness. No, of course not. That's what passes for analysis from this White House. It's so deceitful. Akash, Eddie, do it.
It's Choguli.
I practiced this 300 times and still botched it. Akash, I'm so sorry. From Americans for Prosperity, the vice president there. I really genuinely rehearsed this. Eddie phonetically spelled it out for me, and I still botched it like a dummy. Welcome in.
Thank you for having me, and I've heard worse, so I appreciate you having me on.
It's great to have you. Isn't this just the height of deception? To tell people there's zero inflation?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You know that this administration has made a habit of trying to redefine words. They redefined the word recession. They've redefined a host of other words that I'm sure you've covered on your radio show. The fact of the matter is, it's actually worse than this, right? Not only are they claiming that there's zero inflation, which is obviously untrue, but if you now look at the baseline, right, they measure this year over year. So last month we said it was 9% from a year ago. This month, it's 8.5% from a year ago. The baseline that we're measuring against is also going up because inflation was going up last summer also. So the baseline of July of 2021 is higher than the baseline of June of 2021. And so it still amounts to a significant real dollar increase in the prices that families are facing. It's just another example of how out of touch this administration is. And now you're going to see exactly what we saw last spring after the so-called American Rescue Plan, where they barnstormed the country and said help is on the way before inflation hit 9% this year. We're going to see more of that with this quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act, which analysis after analysis from nonpartisan sources says doesn't impact inflation at all. It does raise taxes on nearly every income bracket, all the way from $30,000 upward.
Do you think, you're not here to talk about this, but I'm asking you this only because you come from the background of Americans for Prosperity and looking at things like hiking people's taxes and the cost of living in this country. And we were having this discussion this morning. Do you think that a raid on Mar-a-Lago or snatching members of Congress's cell phones or, you know, whatever it is that they're up to, do you think that that distracts, even it distracts the media, but does that distract the American people from what they're feeling economically right now?
That's a very good question, and I frankly think the answer to that is no. And that might come as a surprise to some of your listeners, especially some of the more conservative listeners, folks who are big fans of President Trump. But the average American who is not what they would consider a conservative kind of base Republican voter, they don't pay that close attention to the news, that close attention to politics. And the fact of the matter is, inflation doesn't care who you voted for. If the primary motivator of your politics is your support for Republicans or conservatives or for President Trump, then yes, obviously, very understandably, you're upset. If you're just trying to go about your life, feed your family, get your kids to school, get the medicines you need for your grandparents, inflation is, has been, and will continue to be the number one issue on your mind, regardless of issues like this or, you know, other social, cultural issues that have flared up this summer. The administration is going to try as much as they can to distract from that, but folks have got to remember that's what's hurting American families, and we've got to stay on that message as we head into the fall because it's resonating all across the country, regardless of background.
Yeah, like Trump isn't on the ballot this fall, so I'm really trying to get into the head of somebody who does not listen to this stuff, as you say, and I know there are millions of Americans who pay no attention to anything. But it's pretty splashy when a former president's home is raided. And so I think to myself, okay, I'm going to play a dumb guy who pays no attention to anything, and I'm not even politically motivated or interested. And I see a former president's home is raided. I think, ooh, that sounds dirty. That sounds bad, maybe. But it still doesn't fill my gas tank. It still doesn't pay my bills. It still doesn't ignore the fact that I've got two jobs now instead of the one just to make ends meet. And so I wonder how that all comes out in the wash this fall. I can't imagine guy, if he votes, says, those Republicans, you know, and brings Trump into his thinking when voting. I can't imagine how that works, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, and that's exactly right. You might have seen Americans for Prosperity has done what we're calling the True Cost of Washington tour all year. We've done, I think, nearly a dozen events in Pennsylvania. I've personally been up to a couple of these events, and what we're doing is we're partnering with gas stations to pay down the price of gas for customers to $2.38. So that's almost half the price that it actually is. What that number signifies is that's the price on the day that President Biden took office. And so we're giving thousands of people relief at the pump. And obviously, we have a somewhat political policy message raising awareness about how inflation is being caused by reckless spending in Washington. But you're seeing people of all backgrounds, seniors on fixed incomes, struggling parents who just need relief. And the stories we've heard are absolutely gut-wrenching. I mean, it's made clear just as much as the polls have all year that this is the number one issue affecting people. We've got to make sure they know why inflation is so high. And that is one thing only. That is reckless spending. And it's made worse by the regulations on the energy industry this administration has committed to doing and continues to do as we head into the fall. We've got to make sure people know that. And that remains issue number one on their minds.
Akash Choghali is the vice president of Americans for Prosperity. Yesterday on Fox News, Jared Bernstein, the White House economic advisor, was capable of doing something I don't often see. Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino, who are two of the sweetest, nicest people that I know in media. They are the least cynical. They're the least credulous. They're just kind of friendly and open and come on in, and they're hospitable. But even these people, who are as sweet as mom and apple pie, could not contain their outright contempt for this guy as he sat there and talked about expanding the IRS and how nobody should sweat it as long as they're paying their taxes. I've got a couple of these clips. Let me play Bill Hemmer's question to him first.
Why does America need 87,000 new agents?
So look, I think that this reporting has been pretty convoluted. Here, I want to quote something from the commissioner of the IRS, Commissioner Rettig. These resources, he's talking about the reason, what you're referring to as resources in the Inflation Reduction Act to reverse what I call a shadow tax cut, which is the long-term defunding of the IRS to facilitate tax evasion by wealthy evaders. Here's what Commissioner Rettig said. These IRA resources are absolutely not about increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle-income Americans. As we have been planning, and he's the commissioner, so he knows what they're planning, our investment of these enforcement resources is designed around Treasury's directive that audit rates will not rise relative to recent years for households making under $400,000. In other words, IRA resources will not add to audits for households under $400,000, and those same households will not see one penny increase in their taxes based on proposals in the Inflation Reduction Act. So let's just make sure the record's clear on that point.
Dana Perino not buying it.
Have you ever been audited, sir?
I've never been audited. I actually have a great record in paying my taxes, and I suspect most people who are listening to my voice would say the same thing.
Even people who are audited.
Yeah, I'm saying most people
have to prove their innocence.
Yeah, most people haven't been audited. So look, here's the thing. You shouldn't evade your taxes. I shouldn't ought to have to say that, but there's my public service announcement. It is illegal.
That's enough. So, again, most people won't be audited. And then he goes, look, if you pay your taxes, what are you worrying about an audit anyway? I mean, he's talking on both sides of his mouth, but he's just a sleazeball. This guy, Akash, is just maybe one of the worst yet. And that says something about this White House communications team.
Yeah, I mean, it is an absolutely astounding sense of ignorance, entitlement, and really just assuming that the American people don't know any better. But one need only ask somebody who has been audited. We've now seen hundreds of these stories on social media. Our activists at Americans for Prosperity have informed us of these stories that the IRS, even if you make a simple mistake on your taxes, assumes that you're a tax cheat and comes after you with the full force of their, thousands of agents. It's only going to get worse. And here's the irony. They have talked about the IRS coming after the rich and corporations who don't pay their fair share in all this. The vast, vast majority of IRS audits go after low-income people, people making under $75,000 a year. If you look at a map, it stretches through the deep South, heavily African-American communities, and there's a very obvious reason why. Those people don't have the armies of lawyers and accountants to fight back at the IRS, so the IRS thinks it gets a better bang for their buck going after low-income people, self-employed Americans, anyone who has any kind of complexity on their taxes, like they're self-employed or they're low-income, they receive a benefit like the Earned Income Tax Credit. Let's make no mistake, that is likely who the IRS is coming after. There's simply no way that 87,000 IRS agents are going to keep themselves busy going after just the top 1% of Americans. So let's not fool ourselves. The average American will be under the microscope of an absolutely horrendously functioning IRS because of this bill.
And the new job postings out there, which I'm sure you've seen floating around. This was floating around a lot yesterday. The IRS hiring spree and some of the job descriptions that they were posting, among them carrying a gun, major duties, work a minimum of 50 hours per week, which may include irregular hours, maintain a level of fitness necessary to effectively respond to life-threatening situations on the job, carry a firearm, be willing to use deadly force if necessary, be willing to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments. The job posting at the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah, it is absolutely astounding. They try to hide this stuff behind class warfare rhetoric about going after the rich and corporations. And one more really key point, if I may. He says they're raising taxes on business. Even economists on the left have long acknowledged this point, which is that businesses pass taxes onto workers and consumers. Workers bear the brunt of corporate tax increases in the form of lower wages, and consumers bear it in the form of higher prices. To say that those business tax increases aren't going to be borne by working class people is a lie. The Joint Committee on Taxation confirmed that, and that's why the vast majority of the tax hikes in this bill are going to be borne by people under $400,000 a year, despite President Biden's promise. I know in the area you're in, that means folks in the Philly suburbs, in Philadelphia, all across the state of Pennsylvania. And I hope folks remember that as we head in, because we can't take any more of, Chuck Schumer's Senate majority and Nancy Pelosi's House majority. Things have got to change if we're going to turn things around with this inflation and economic crisis that we're in.
Akash Choudhary is the Vice President for Americans for Prosperity. We're so grateful for your time and perspective. Come back and see us.
Thank you for having me on.
Daniel Henninger at the Wall Street Journal has a brilliant piece today, an important piece. He says, let us assume that for 99.99% of the United States population in early August 2022, the last thing on their minds was Mar-a-Lago. Instead, a short list of real things preoccupying Americans would include inflation, crime, battles in Congress, overspending, Ukraine fighting World War III for us in Europe, the China connection, conducting massive live-fire military exercises around Taiwan. Forgive me, for not spending more than a moment on the legal niceties of this event, the applicability of the Presidential Records Act, that it had to be about something big involving classified documents, or that no one, including a former president, is above the law. That's all beside the point. You can hate Donald Trump until your eyes pop out, but let us be clear. He was elected the 45th president of the United States. He served 4 years in office. No former president who was disliked by many, not Clinton, not Reagan, not FDR, had his home invaded by a squad of FBI agents. This should never happen in the United States. End of discussion. But it did happen. The Trump raid is now wall to wall, and it's a political disaster for the United States, doing more damage, if that's possible, to the country's internal divisions and even creating external risks. Consider the current spectacle the United States is presenting to foreign adversaries. Multiple members of the sitting president's own party in the past week, like Joe Manchin and Jerry Nadler, have openly abandoned Joe Biden for an election that is 2 years off. Days later, the previous president comes under explicit attack from the FBI. Imagine what we would think of the stability of China or Russia if events like this were happening to Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin. Well, that's how they see us, destabilized and vulnerable. Our opponents are redoing their global risk-reward ratios right now. Incredibly, we are doing this to ourselves. Correction, they're doing it to us. Who are they? Well, they, as of Monday, are who much of the political right says are the swamp, the deep state, the regime, the establishment. Normally, in times of hyper-marginalized political opinion, it is worth attempting to argue on behalf of a functioning government system, but past some point, that becomes nearly impossible. With this raid on a former president's residence, the swamp pushed past that point. The rest of us are being carried along in their undertow of political debris. Washington has become a very small town inhabited by people inbred by profession, marriage, schools, and cultural disposition. The imbalance between the capital and the nation has been a problem for a long time, but as we say, life goes on. That is, until Trump. After Mr. Trump took office, the Washington establishment, the Comey-McCabe FBI, opposition Democrats, the press, asked the public to indulge in the notion that the new United States president was a Russian pawn. No matter that the Steele dossier, the day it was published, struck many as Russian fabulism, the press published story after story based on anonymous sources that it might be real when it wasn't. Mr. Trump fired FBI Director James Comey, and the public next got the Justice Department investigation led by Robert Mueller, a figure from Beltway Central Casting, which led to the Mueller report, which amounted to almost nothing. Then Adam Schiff, then the impeachments, etc., etc. In the event the Democrats won back the presidency in 2020, when the incumbent, Mr. Trump, failed to put away an opponent who campaigned mostly from inside his house in Delaware, was the Trump takedown accomplished? Obviously not. For the swamp, Donald Trump is Dracula, and they won't rest until they put a stake through his heart, which brings us to the hard part, Mr. Trump himself. This incident may push the former president in the Republican nomination race, running with evidence against the swamp's institutional corruption. Within hours, Mr. Trump's organization posted a 3.5-minute campaign-style video about a nation in decline. A second Trump term isn't the last thing this country needs, but it's about second to last. The raid on Mar-a-Lago proves that Trump derangement syndrome won't go away until Mr. Trump is out of elective politics. Trump 2 would not be a replay of Trump 1, a more substantive, policy-driven presidency than his critics will admit. Trump 2 would be a 4-year civil war. The swamp wouldn't drain, it would deepen. The rancor could drown us all. American politics needs new, stable leadership, and Republicans need to find a way to talk about the swamp's threat. It's not a good day when Andrew Cuomo is speaking forcefully against the Mar-a-Lago raid on an elected president, and Mitch McConnell is as silent as Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray. Time to invest in some sump pumps. Daniel Henninger at the Wall Street Journal. Now, I recognize that there are a lot of you in this audience who will disagree with his assessment that a second Trump term only exacerbates things. A lot of you have reached out to tell me that that's exactly how you feel. I will tell you, as I've said before, and I know this is true because my wife, again, this is a barometer for me. My wife, who didn't care even a little bit about Donald Trump, when she heard about this, when we were at dinner Monday night and she heard that Donald Trump's home had been raided, she was livid. And she made herself public with her anger to her mostly lady friends. And what's interesting is Christine really values, she tries hard to not get into hyper-partisan politics. She just kind of as her own personal, what do you want to call it? You know, whatever it is you put out there, she's different than me. I mean, you know, my living is made talking about this stuff. That's not her style. She goes at it a different way. And as such, she will have really great conversations with some of her liberal friends that are really calm and respectful. And so she really goes out of her way to accommodate people that don't share her point of view, whereas I have no time for it, is my point. And this on Monday did to her something I've never seen. I've never seen her so livid. I've never heard so publicly state how livid she was. And she tells me anecdotally, and I see it on Twitter, when I posted this anecdote on my own social media, the number of women, interestingly, women, not men, you know, we all like to thump our chests and talk tough. It's the women that interest me. When I start getting notes from women that say, I didn't care about Trump and now I hope the son of a bitch burns it all down. I mean, something's happened. It's anecdotal, but I know I'm not wrong. So I don't know what that means. Henninger says that's a bad idea. He thinks that's just going to exacerbate things and make everything worse, a second Trump term. Look, I'm not going to rule on that either way, but it's undeniable what's going on here. 610-850-0990, the number, 610-850-0990. Cheryl Atkison is with us. Cheryl's an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist. Full Measure with Cheryl Atkison on Sinclair. Hope you have been watching it, and I hope you've read all of her bestsellers. The most recent, Slanted, How News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. I couldn't let this raid on Mar-a-Lago go without a real journalist who asks real questions. And I saw your tweets about it. I saw, that Cheryl, that you had some contacts with people off the record about it, people that weren't even Trump fans who told you this was unprecedented. I welcome you in and would love your perspective.
Well, and not so much off the record, just comments they made that they don't want to make publicly. They didn't really give me terms of using or not using, but there are many people I've noticed who describe themselves as not supporters of Trump. I don't think they hate him, but I don't think they voted for him. These are officials who really are chilled by what the FBI has done. And some of these people that I've talked to since I first tweeted about it include people who've worked at the FBI under two administrations. So this is, as you've heard, very unprecedented. And I know, you know, Trump's detractors are cheering it on, but the cheering on of all the stuff that's happened to Trump that's really outside the lines of what's normal and in some cases what's legal, the cheering on of that only leads to an expansion of something that's going to, I'm afraid, touch a lot more people someday. And I would comment, Chris, on the conflict of interest at stake here. If the FBI and DOJ want to have credibility, which I don't think is their concern, I think they're sort of desperate to try to get Trump not to run. But basic ethics rules that they all know about would dictate that if there's an appearance of a real conflict of interest in having these agencies investigate Trump, the same agencies who got caught trying to frame him and have held almost nobody responsible, I mean, that's a huge conflict. They didn't charge people, remember, after the inspector general recommended charges against former FBI Director Comey. Comey, people may have forgotten this, took Trump-related materials that he should not have taken outside to his house and passed them along to people. It was mishandling of documents. The DOJ declined to prosecute, even though the inspector general recommended charges. DOJ hasn't prosecuted or disciplined anybody, as far as we know, for the sampling of wiretaps that were made after the scandal of doctored wiretaps by the FBI. They sampled a bunch of them and found none of them met all the requirements they were supposed to meet, but nobody was held responsible for that. This same FBI should be allowed to investigate the man that insiders have tried to frame and have doctored documents against. I mean, this is a real problem I see.
And again, you were subject to secret surveillance that we know of under the Obama DOJ. I mean, this is something that you've been battling actively in court yourself. And so this, the abuses of the DOJ blend over multiple administrations. This is not just Biden. This is not just Trump. This is not just Obama. This is something you have been sounding an alarm on for a while, a DOJ that is increasingly more aggressive, more hostile, more well, not even secretive anymore. I mean, seemingly almost sort of brazen and unapologetic. And no one seems to be, to your point, trying to stop them. Any administration, frankly.
Well, I've chronicled over decades the abuses of our intelligence communities that are known. We can only imagine what the unknown ones are, but just the ones we found out about. And I've always argued that the illegal government surveillance on me is important, not because it happened to me, but because I wasn't the only one. And of course, if they're doing this, as I've been told, and we've learned a lot about it since then, to hundreds or thousands of citizens, including other journalists and just regular citizens, and nobody stops them or holds them accountable or stands up and says this is wrong, which pretty much nobody did after my case was exposed, why would they stop? And since they've only expanded, and we got to this place, which I was afraid would happen, where the drip drip of these shocking revelations of what our government is doing to us are now so commonplace, people kind of yawn and expect it. They're hardly even outraged anymore. And then the cheering on of it under Donald Trump by both Democrats and Republicans who don't like him because he threatens their agendas and their money trails, you know, their money pipelines, cheering on it happening to Donald Trump only ensured they'd be more powerful to and more bold and brazen and accepted to do it, you know, on a bigger scale. So sadly, that's where we are today.
And I really do wonder, you know, I've thought to myself, because I really want to be honest with myself when I ask myself this question, like if Donald Trump were president of the United States today and he ordered Chappaqua, the Clinton home raided, or Barack Obama's Martha's Vineyard home raided under the auspices of some, I don't know, some investigation. I would like to believe, I would think to myself, oh, that's disconcerting. I'd like to believe, because that's next level. I mean, what we're talking about, a sitting president shoving the DOJ into the private residence of a former president who's probably going to make another run at it. That's, I mean, I know it's sort of a throwaway line. That's, you know, Eastern Bloc stuff. That's not stuff that happens in the United States.
It is. There's really no other fair way to look at it. And I'll tell you just from FBI sources I have, until not too long ago, the way something like this would be viewed, the FBI would never have touched something political in this fashion for fear that it would look like the intel agencies are being weaponized for political reasons. Even if that wasn't the case, they would be so concerned and were concerned about the appearance that they would avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest by doing what they do with other people. They would meet. They would be very transparent about it. They would try to get what they need or want if there's a legitimate investigation without a wild raid that, by all accounts, really virtually all accounts, was unnecessary and overkill. They wouldn't have handled it this way 6-7 years ago. So this is something that's different and unique, that they're almost tone deaf, or they just don't care how it appears to the general public anymore.
How does this end? Could you guess? I mean, where do you think this goes? I've been asking guests this, you know, from a legal perspective, a journalistic perspective. How does this end?
Understanding that I could very well be wrong, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say everything they've tried to do to Donald Trump, we always hear that he's about to be charged, he's about to be jailed, he's about to be in prison. None of that ever happens. The goods are never ultimately there. So I suspect, based on the past, it might be something like that, dragging him out, punishing him, causing him to spend money, warning people around him that if they're involved, they'll be targeted too. I think it's primarily about that. And I think he'll come out, frankly, as strong as ever. And I think he stands a very good chance of being elected president again, at least 50-50.
This is some kind of, I mean, we're living through something. I don't know how you chronicle this in history, Cheryl, and I mean, you know, maybe we'll be long gone before we ever know, but this seems like a very significant inflection point in American history, yes?
It is, but as the topic of my new book is going to be, my thesis is they've gone too far, and I mean the propagandists in either party or no party who've gotten so bold, they had the money and the upper hand in the organization initially to catch people by surprise and overwhelm them with their narratives. But the majority of the people, it may take longer, ultimately are stronger, can organize. They don't have the money and the organization up front, but the true grassroots is more powerful than the fake grassroots or the astroturf that's created by these propagandists. And I think we'll see, and I hope we'll see, a swing of the pendulum.
Cheryl Atkison is at Full Measure with Cheryl Atkison on Sinclair. She's on Twitter, Cheryl Atkison. Well, that's with two T's and two S's. And your new book, when does that due out? I hadn't heard you were working on a new book yet. I want to make sure we're watching.
We're just starting. I haven't inked the deal. We have a deal, more or less. So it's going to be a while. I'm thinking Christmas-ish next year, because we've got a lot to write about. A lot's going to happen since then, but I do have a bunch of thoughts in my head already.
Well, we're bringing you back to town for that then. In the meantime, so great to talk to you again, Cheryl. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Chris.
Over at the New York Post, Miranda Devine has written the piece, "So FBI, why no raid of Hunter Biden's house?" Did you notice yesterday that Grandpa and Dr. Jill, the Husk and the doctor, and someone else was in tow yesterday, boarding Air Force One. Did you notice? Dressed up in a suit, Hunter Biden standing there at the top of the stairs at Air Force One, waving with the rest of the first family. Miranda Devine noticed the message was unmistakable at Joint Base Andrews Wednesday, 2 days after Donald Trump's Florida home was raided by the FBI. There, boarding Air Force One at 1:20, shoulder to shoulder with his father, the president. There he was, Hunter Biden, whose home has never been raided, despite a snail's pace grand jury investigation into his suspect business dealings by the U.S. attorney and Biden's crony state of Delaware, despite copious documentary evidence that he accepted millions of dollars from America's adversaries in exchange for influencing his father, the then vice president, despite actively working with communist China to extend Belt and Road imperialism across the globe to undermine America, Hunter, age 52, looked as if he didn't have a care in the world. Dressed in a suit and tie, accompanied by his wife and toddler son, he made his way slowly up the stairs of the presidential jet alongside Joe, exchanging private jokes before stopping at the top to turn and face the waiting cameras, father and son, giving the world a lingering view of their brazen smiles before they jetted off for a 7-day vacation to a favorite family haunt in South Carolina. It was an unspoken message. We are untouchable. They may as well have given the middle finger to half the country. How many times have you heard Democrats say no one's above the law this week? If you had a nickel for every time you heard some Democrat say that indignantly, no one's above the law. And then we watch Hunter and the president, the Husk, we're pretending as president, fly off to their South Carolina vacation. By the way, this raid timed before Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, and the Husk both took a vacation. That's interesting. If you just lay down your tracks, you could have an airplane flying. If you bring your blue sky back, all you do is call me. So now that Grandpa has gone on vacation, the water carriers are in overdrive trying to convince you that all is well. Things are rolling. He's really rolling. The nerd prom king and queen, Joe and Mika, this morning, highlighting the unexpected triumph of Joe Biden. No kidding. A laundry list of all of Joe's great accomplishments, and what a fantastic, triumphant, strong second-year finish Joe is edging into as we close into the fall midterms. Joe's doing great out there. Over at CNN, no question the GOP should tone down its rhetoric. MSNBC with another story today about how there's an attack on democracy at the state level. So everything is fine. Joe is great. The raid on Mar-a-Lago was completely normal and warranted. And anyone who objects to it or opposed to it should tone down their rhetoric and is attacking democracy. As they arm IRS agents, 87,000 of them. as Dr. Fauci continues to express his exacerbation and disappointment with you for not wearing a mask.
When you tell people they need to mask in an indoor congregate setting when you're in a zone that has a high dynamic of infection, and that is looked upon by a lot of people, not everybody, as an encroachment on your freedom. That we've never had that before. I mean, so, I mean, it's almost inexplicable.
Right. Yeah. Chris Murphy, senator from Connecticut. The Manchin-Schumer bill will create 87,000 new IRS agents to target regular everyday Americans. He responds to Ted Cruz by saying, "This isn't true. It's made up to scare you. The Inflation Reduction Act includes money for the IRS to curb an epidemic of tax cheating amongst millionaires and billionaires. Under the bill, audit rates won't increase for anyone making under $400,000. Kimberly Strassel responded to that. "Actually, that's not true, Senator Murphy. There's vague language about how the turbocharged enforcement budget isn't intended to make life miserable for those under $400K, but it includes no bar on IRS activities, and almost all recovered money comes from audits of those below that income line." The only way a Republican voted for that, incidentally, is if they are totally compromised. By the way, where is Mitt Romney on this raid? Have we heard from Mitt? Old Mitt had a comment on the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Is he good with that? Obviously, Republicans have to unite on this. Meanwhile, in our backyard, the New York Times notices how awful things have gotten here. And when the New York Times is writing about how awful things are in Philadelphia, New York, not exactly a paradise. And here's their headline today. "Everybody is armed as shootings soar. Philadelphia is awash in guns." How's everybody feeling out there? You feeling good? Glad to see Gramps and his son, his lawless, coke-addled, hooker-banging son, wave at you on the tarmac of Air Force One as they take off for vacation. Joe's really rolling. He's on a roll. His leadership's never been better. Why, gas prices are coming down. Inflation, he said it yesterday, inflation's at zero. And then coughed all over himself, by the way. He sounds very well, the husk, doesn't he? The husk sounds great, very healthy, like he's completely well and healthy and totally rebounded after 3,000 shots and Paxlovid, Paxlovid, Paxlin. I took it! Still sounding fantastic. This is yesterday, just a little montage.
"We know, and secure in the future, excuse me. You're the vet, excuse me. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Was hollowed out. Excuse me. I take another sip of water.
I'm going to dig up my Hillary.
Let me close with this.
We put together a montage of Hillary coughing like that years ago. I got to go see if I can dig that up. They're healthy as horses. Oh, yeah. Fit as a fiddle. He's rolling. You're rolling. Everybody's feeling great. More than 1,400 people have been shot this year in Philadelphia, hundreds of them fatally, at a higher toll than in much larger New York or Los Angeles. Steve Keeley at Fox 29. If the rest of the nation and the world didn't already know about Philadelphia's horrific pace to hit another all-time worst number of homicides and shootings, they will now. It's the top story in the New York Times this morning. The 300th killing of the year took the life of Lamir Boyd, an 18-year-old father-to-be who was gunned down one July night in West Philly's sidewalks. Over the days that followed, a grandmother was shot in the neck in Mill Creek. A popular singer was killed in front of his house in South Philly, and a 26-year-old was shot during an argument outside a restaurant in East Tioga. On August 2nd, a Tuesday night, a car pulled up to a front porch cookout in northeast Philadelphia. Someone in the car opened fire, killing a 29-year-old woman. With her death, the 322nd of the year, the number of homicides in Philadelphia was on track toward becoming the highest in police records, passing the bleak milestone set just last year. So far in 2022, more than 1,400 people in the city have been shot, hundreds of them fatally, a higher toll than in the much larger cities of New York and L.A. Alarms have sounded about gun violence across the country over the past 2 years, but Philadelphia is one of the few major American cities where it is truly as bad as it's ever been. That's the New York Times reporting on us today, folks. Feeling good? 0% inflation! It's an assassin's paradise in the city. So if you're not dodging homeless lunatics, you're dodging bullets. You're paying a fortune for gas, and they're telling you you should be grateful that it's come down to $4 a gallon. 0% inflation, which of course is insanely insulting. Inflation is 8.5. It dropped about 0.5% yesterday off of last month, where it was at an all-time high of 9%. It is still at a 40-year high. It is costing a fortune to just exist in the United States of America right now. It's costing a fortune. If you carry any balance on any kind of credit cards or car payments, those have gone up. You're getting squeezed. People are taking multiple jobs. Yeah, but gas prices have come down. Yeah, they have. To $4 a gallon. Not exactly comfortable. Southern border still wide open. 1,400 people shot in Philadelphia. It's just amazing to me that Democrats would dare look you in the eye after they raided an ex-president's home this week and tell you, well, once we vanquish this beast, I think we've pretty well locked it up. The Democrats are rolling and that the direction of the country is sound and on solid footing. Stay with us. Join us. Fight with us.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer. A Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
I wanted to tell you that I really like your show.
Hi, Chris. A huge fan of you and Fast Eddie.
Good morning, Chris. Great show as usual.
A big fan. I listen every day.
Millions of Americans have used Paxlovid. Paxlovid, excuse me. Paxlovid. I tell you what. I think it's... I used it. Oh, Paxlovid, including me.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Chuck Grassley, who is the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, he's on Fox right now. I'd be curious to know what he has to say. If we could just gyp that briefly. Fast Eddie, I'd like to know what Grassley's talking about here.
Satisfactory answers, and we need to have some trust in the FBI. You know how I pointed out political bias, starting a Trump investigation and stopping a Hunter Biden investigation by the special agent in charge that had political bias against Republicans. And this is just another example of that. And so the question I have is, when are they going to tell the American people exactly why they did it and what they and why they did it raiding it as opposed to what they did negotiating with Hillary Clinton?
Did Chris Ray know about it? Did Chris Ray tell you he knew about the raid?
Yeah, what did he say to you?
I did not get that answer from him. I said, I basically said this. When are we going to know why it's going to be, why it was done and how it was done and what? And you get the usual answer under both Republican and Democrat administrations. We don't talk about an ongoing investigation.
Sure.
Well, in this case, where it's so historically wrong to raid an ex-president's office that has never been done before, I think we deserve answers at the highest level of government, and that's at least at Garland's level.
Well, did you get the sense that they
That's enough. He's basically saying they're not saying anything. Look, is Joe staying or going? At this point, what do you think? Is this to bolster Biden or is this to give Biden an exit? I'm really wondering about it today. An exit might be another boost to Democrats. Are they playing bare knuckle checkers here, or is it 3D chess? I've had mixed answers to that this weekend. Right now, you got a press positioning Biden as really surging and doing great, right? I mean, I just told you today they're touting him today. Look at all these accomplishments as he heads off to vacation. So I don't know if they use this old husk to raid Donald Trump's home, knowing that there's going to be a political hit, and he gets to ride off into the sunset and say something empty and shallow like it's time for healing or whatever. Or the other could be true, that the Bidens feel like they're firmly in charge and the press is going to tell you that he is surging and on top, and there they are sticking their proverbial middle fingers in the air with Hunter Biden untouched. We're here to stay. We're the kings and we can do whatever we want. I don't know. Let's see what Paris Denard, spokesman of the GOP, how does he read what they're doing? Because I've been struggling most of the week trying to interpret whether this is wild overreach, that surely they understand is wild overreach to their benefit, or do they anticipate they think it may be to their benefit? There's always a why behind this stuff, Paris, is my point. Good morning.
The why is about power and control. The why is about making sure that the radical liberal progressive agenda that they've been trying to enact for decades gets done, because they understand that come November they're going to be out of power. They could care less about how their policies are impacting the American people. I've tried to give them the benefit of the doubt. I've tried to say that they actually do care but don't understand, but I've come to the conclusion that they actually do understand that their policies are hurting the American people, but they don't care because they're more focused on enacting their agenda to appease their progressive radical base, which is becoming the more dominant part of the Democrat Party, and the lobbyists and the cronies who benefit from it. When you look at the fact that, you know, the CPI numbers that came out that show that things are still increasing and more expensive, when you look at the fact that Ford F-150 Lightning truck said it's going to cost upwards to $95,000 for a pickup truck, it's about $6,000 to $8,000 more than was expected because of inflation and supply costs being more expensive. That's being passed on to the consumer. When you look at Gen Z Americans are now experiencing record high credit card debt because they're living paycheck to paycheck, like the majority of Americans. All the things that these Democrats and this Biden-Harris administration are telling the American people doesn't line up to the reality on the ground. So that's why I don't think this is chess. That's why I don't think that they're smart. I think that they are all this is going to backfire. And we haven't even begun to talk about the impact of big tech, big government, as it relates to what they're doing to intimidate voters, especially those who subscribe to the MAGA America First agenda and the support of former President Trump. The FBI raid and all the things that are happening is making Americans pause. And I haven't even talked about the issue with the IRS. So, no, this is not chess. This is just more Democrat overreach. They know exactly what they're doing.
I really do wonder when they continue to provoke millions, I think upwards of, I mean, you could certainly safely say 50 million. I mean, Donald Trump had 74 million voters. This is what I thought to myself sort of broadly. 74 million people voted for Donald Trump, all right? And Donald Trump's not president. And a vast majority of those 74 million people don't trust, don't like, at a minimum, feel unsettled about the way that election ran, all right? And rather than this administration or Democrats, I don't know, try to achieve some kind of advancing the ball for the country, if you want to call it healing or toning it down, they've raided his home. You know, and they stand there with Hunter Biden and wave and smile on the tarmac as they go off to vacation. It's you know, they're arming IRS agents. Fauci's out there scolding people that don't want to wear a mask. These people just hate us. We're dealing with people in political power who hate tens of millions of Americans. And I'm trying to figure out, do they think this is a strategy. It looks like political masturbation. Sorry to be vulgar, but I mean, on the same week that you deposed Trump in New York over his business practices, you raid his home. This, for any objective person, whether you like Trump or Republicans or not, any objective person sees this, I would think. And Democrats do it to what end? I mean, do they think this is working? Is it a? I earnestly am trying to figure out if they think, boy, now we're going to coast to victory this fall.
I don't think that the Democrats are that smart. I think that they think the American people, and I think it's more than 70 million. I think it's probably closer to 80 to 90 million, because I think you have to include the people who might not have voted for President Trump, who just didn't vote, but certainly agreed with him. Certainly don't like where the country is today, with the Democrats are controlling things. So I think it's a lot more Americans than the Democrats realize that, and they're not all Republicans who are living in this economy that's not working, who are feeling unsafe in their communities, who are looking at a future where 401ks are down, living paycheck to paycheck, and looking at a government who is out of control, whose priorities are getting 87,000 more IRS agents on the streets rather than making sure that the American people are safe and secure from an economic and a physical safety standpoint. And so what we have to do is remember the end goal for the Democrats is, like I said before, it's power and control. And so they're going to do whatever they can do because they don't feel that there's going to be an uprising of support in November. They don't think that they're going to there's enough of us that are going to be inspired to come back, because you know what? That's why they spent so much time with this January 6th sham committee, because they thought they could intimidate Republicans not to support President Trump, not to support the people whom he's endorsed, not to support conservative Republicans. So they think all these tactics are working, and it's just the direct opposite. It's turning off Democrats and independents who are going to come to our side, minorities who are coming to our side through their policies, and it's making sure that our base of supporters, which has expanded and grown, really come out to vote come November.
Paris, I hope you're right. I the Democrats managed to flip Manchin on a bill that will increase inflation. You know, they control how much we drive. They're controlling how farmers farm, how much food we can afford. They're controlling vote counting. It feels like they're controlling a great deal now, and it feels like they're exerting maximum control over us, and all the while kind of, again, sticking their middle finger in the air and going, and look what else we can do. Raid your guys' home. Huh? You like that? You know, it's provocative. It's like it's provocative on top of abusive. And I really do pray. I just earnestly pray, because I have no other option left at this point, but to pray that the American public reverses course and doesn't reward this behavior, that most sane, level-headed, decent people, whether you're partisan or not, see this for what it is, which is just unlike anything we've ever seen in American history.
Well, Chris, the one thing they can't control is our ability to exercise our constitutional right to vote and to make sure we register to vote. And that's exactly what every Republican has to do. We have to make sure that we do not stay at home, that we become complacent, that we think, oh, I don't have to donate, oh, I don't have to give my time, or I don't have to volunteer. You know, we're going to win the midterms. No, we're going to win the midterms only if you get engaged, get in the game, and actually register and vote and encourage other people to do that, because they want us to be relaxed. They want us to just take back and just take it and roll over. They want to intimidate us. We can't do it.
I couldn't agree with you more. We are in this together. I hate that phrase. That sounds so COVID. But politically speaking, approaching the midterms, holding your friends, holding your family, neighbors, those who are persuadable, holding them accountable, it matters. You know, it would be great to hear people's plans to get active, really get active, volunteer, work at your local Republican Party, register your neighbors to vote, organize a protest, you know, drive elderly folks to the polls, volunteer to help a campaign. Our side is not great at that, to be perfectly blunt. I think historically it's just true. We're not activists by nature. The left is. We're not. We're working folks who have families to raise and jobs to tend to, and we're just not great at being activists. But this is a time we need to be.
Well, it is. That's why we're proud at the RNC under Alicia Rodham McDaniel have made over 40 million voter contacts. you know, we are proud of the work that that we're doing on the ground. And we see through our training on poll workers and poll watchers, thousands of people signing up to do that. You know, I think historically, yeah, we haven't been great as a base, as a party of doing those things, and really the GOTV work. But man, you know, whether it's your soccer moms, your working dads, parents who are now into this, you know, the minorities who are coming to the party and getting engaged like more than ever. We see the enthusiasm at our community centers. There's a shift happening, Chris. And I think it's because, to your earlier point, the American people are sitting back. And I'm not just talking about Republicans. Just all Americans are looking at this government and saying, it's not working.
Yeah.
And so they're like, what can I do? I got to do something. I have to do something. And the thing that they have to do is, and what we're seeing them do more of, is get engaged. But we just have to make sure that engagement turns into activation, when it means to, which means registering to vote and actually voting and getting others to do so as well.
I can't imagine cheering. I can't. First of all, I can't imagine feeling ambivalent. That's the first thing. I can't. If you're an American paying attention, I can't imagine you feel ambivalence. That seems impossible. But second, I can't imagine rewarding what's currently happening. I can't. It's beyond me that you would reward it. But anyway, we shall see. Paris Denard, it's always great to catch up with you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
That's Paris Denard, our weekly chat. Glad to have you here today. The telephone number, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Did you see that XC90 that I was driving last week, Fast Eddie?
Yes.
It's a pretty car, isn't it?
Yes.
Just have to say, the good people at Stillman Volvo, Jonathan Stillman and his team, his fantastic team at Stillman Volvo, they said, here, take this one for a spin. I drove it around a little bit. I'm just telling you. Number one, I want to say thanks to the team at Stillman Volvo out there in Westchester on Highway 202 for being such great friends and sponsors of the show. But I'm telling you, if you're in the market for a new ride, I'll just tell you this. That every time I test drive one of these things, I don't know if that's like a soft sell that he's given me, like trying to tempt me into close. And I guess now they're making them electric, too. I didn't ask him about that. Not the one that I was driving, but they are just great-looking vehicles. So I just, first of all, I just wanted to say thanks to them for their sponsorship and allowing me to play Volvo owner for the day, for the week yesterday, or last week. But anyway, it's just it's a great-looking ride, and I hope you'll check out our friends and sponsors at Stillman Volvo. Randy Weingarten, one of the absolute worst people, to borrow a phrase from Keith Olbermann, one of the worst people in the world. This is the president of the American Federation of Teachers. This is a woman who said on Twitter that they're trying to create. I can't remember the words she used, but what stuck in my mind was the fact that she said they're trying to create. I don't want teachers to create anything in my children. You understand that? I don't want you to create anything. Teachers are not creators. There's an arrogance in that term. Isn't there? Like when you hear somebody say, I'm going to create, like you create art, you know, you can create a widget. You can create a Volvo. You can create things physically with your hands. You don't talk about human beings. Well, that's what's ironic. I do believe there is a creator of all of us, a divine creator. I believe we are divinely inspired and created as an image of God. God makes no mistakes and he creates us. But when Randy Weingarten speaks of teachers as creating this or that in our students, they're social engineers now. They see themselves as mad scientists in a lab with our students. And that's why, if I may, put in a cheap plug for the podcast that my wife Christine and I are doing now called Making the Leap. People are doing this. They're leaving and going to Montessori schools. They're going to faith-based schools. They're going to private schools. States like Arizona and others, we had great conversation with Corey DeAngelis about how states are handing the money they spend, the taxpayer money that's allocated per pupil, they're handing it back to parents and saying, you go shop for an education. Randy Weingarten is the personification of why public schools. Do you know that schools all over the country, Pennsylvania is one of them, trying to get, can't find teachers. Public schools are disintegrating. Like, it's, I'm sorry, and I don't, I'm not, this is tricky because I have a lot of friends who teach in public schools. I have a lot of friends and a lot of you who send your kids to public school, and I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm just sounding the alarm here. It's decaying rapidly, and it should. It must. It necessarily must. Public education must rapidly decay. And you're finding more and more parents. It's not fringe. It's not kook. It's not weird anymore. More and more parents are creating what they're calling homeschool pods. They're getting small groups of kids together in outbuildings. This is going on not far from our home. There's a guy who decided to leave his public teacher role and start a Montessori school and in an outbuilding. These homeschool pods are fascinating. Two, three, four kids, basically in a, we're going back to the days of a one-room schoolhouse. It's like a parent co-op. And slowly but surely, the machine of educating our kids in a public school setting is grinding to a halt. It's deteriorating quickly. And Randy Weingarten is one of the big reasons why. She, I don't know, where was she interviewed yesterday here, Fast Eddie? I don't know where this came from.
Was this Yahoo?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is, for sure. Here's a little of Randy Weingarten on Yahoo News yesterday.
You have all of the pandemic stress and strain, particularly that kids are coming in with greater needs because of 2 years of disruption.
She created it. 2 years of disruption that she created, that she cheered, that she wanted. Parents knew. We knew. We knew the destruction that was happening to our children. We knew. Now, Fauci is still out there. Fauci still looms large, insisting that he's really getting irked as the B5QRC bingo variant spreads through the country. He's mad at you that you're so objecting to masks out there. It just makes good sense.
When you tell people they need to mask in an indoor congregate setting when you're in a zone that has a high dynamic of infection, and that is looked upon by a lot of people, not everybody, as an encroachment on your freedom. We've never had that before. I mean, so I mean, it's almost inexplicable.
Right. Inexplicable. Yeah. You know what else is inexplicable? Raiding a former president's home. You diminutive little troll. That's also it. So he's, I mean, do you, Randy Weingarten, our children are coming in with 2 years of real upheaval, learning disabilities. They can't speak. They can't write. They don't know basic facts. They don't know how to do anything after 2 years of disruption. Yeah, that you cheerled, that you locked arm in arm with that little tree troll and insisted that they be locked in their homes behind computer terminals. And then when they come back, masked up and 6 feet away and blah, 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 none of it worked. It was all lies. Then a lot of you tried to threaten and force all the kids to get shots. You people did this. These monsters did this. A little more of Weingarten here.
You have all of the politics, the culture wars, the shaming and blaming, the banning of books, the censoring of curriculum.
Yeah, you're the bad guy. Just like Fauci said, you're the bad guy, you see. You don't have control over your kids. You don't have control over your person. You don't have control over your personal effects. You don't have control over your disposable income. You don't have control of the food you buy or eat. You shouldn't have control over any of those things because you are just too baffling to these people. You won't comply. You don't. You need IRS agents with guns at your door because you probably won't pay your taxes if we don't get aggressive. You noticing this consistent theme? They all speak with this voice from hell, this totalitarian voice from hell. They're just very disappointed in you. That's what I keep hearing from Mr. Bernstein, the White House economic advisor, to Dr. Fauci, to Randy Weingarten of the teachers' unions. All these bureaucrats and functionaries are very disappointed in you and very suspicious of you. And it's high time you start behaving. And if you just comply and behave, why, we wouldn't have these problems. But you just won't. And you continue to question our wisdom. And you continue to upset the culture by insisting you have a say in what your children learn. And so we're clearly going to have to get more aggressive with you. It's what they promise. This show at Mar-a-Lago, I say again, I'm sorry to be redundant, you all understand this. This show at Mar-a-Lago on Monday was meant as much for you as it was for anybody. That was just a look what we can do. That's all it was. It was a provocation. Look what we can do. And then that Husk and his criminal element family all get on a plane yesterday and wave as they jet off at your expense to South Carolina. All the while, his functionaries left behind to go on cable news and talk about, one, how great he is and how great the country's rolling along under his leadership. And number two, anybody that doesn't see it that way is misbehaving and a real anomaly and a real confusing element that needs to be dealt with. It's swiftly punished. You're a book banner. You're a censor. You're a science denier. You're a tax cheat. These are very, very bad people. As Newt Gingrich said, bad people do bad things. Headline from Politico, Democrats betting on progressives to keep control of Senate. I ask you again, how in the world could anyone not vote for the Republican on the ballot this fall? How could anyone not? How could anyone in this audience think about sitting out and not participating? I can't imagine there's, I pray there's not. I pray any notion of, you know what, I'm not very happy with the outcome of the primaries this year. I think I'm not going to vote. Or I don't really like that rhino that the rest of my fellow voters chose. Well, headline from Politico, Democrats are betting that that's going to be your attitude. And as such, they think progressives will keep control of the Senate. And they think one of the ways they're going to do that is with the help of Lurch, the pothead, the stroke patient who hasn't been seen publicly in months. Holly Otterbein, former Philly Mag columnist, now writes for Politico. In two of the most pivotal Senate races in the country, Democrats are placing their bets on progressives who have voiced support for Medicare for All, allied with Bernie Sanders, and vowed to end the filibuster. That's right, end the filibuster. That means minority voices in the United States Senate will cease to exist, and it will be a simple majority vote forever on everything. A simple, straight-up majority vote wins on all issues. They'd love to get rid of the filibuster. In Wisconsin, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes gained a clear path to the nomination this week after his top Democrat rivals dropped out and endorsed him in the final weeks of the race. In Pennsylvania, John Fetterman won the primary in a rout in May. The rise of Barnes and Fetterman is an opportunity for the left wing of the party, which has often struggled to flip swing seats and instead found success in ousting Democrat incumbents in deep blue areas. Both men said they would be the 51st vote to pass ambitious liberal legislation that has been stymied by centrists like Manchin and Sinema. And both say they support eliminating the filibuster and passing a national law to make abortion legal. The national director of the Progressive Working Families Party says when they're victorious, it will have such a huge impact for so many reasons. Every week it becomes more and more plausible Democrats maintain governing majorities in both houses and might even expand the governing majority in the Senate. That will mean that we get another bite at the apple of governing. That means we will no longer be subject to the Sinema or Manchin veto. Pennsylvania is widely considered to be the best chance for Democrats to flip a seat in the evenly divided Senate. So is it? Democrats have sought to portray Oz as too conservative They note, sorry, I can barely say that with a straight face, given what I know so many of you in this audience feel about him. Endorsed by former President Donald Trump in the primary, said we cannot move on from the 2020 election. It's Oz's support for banning abortion that is radical here in Pennsylvania, said Fetterman, a Fetterman spokesman, because Fetterman can't talk because he had a stroke, of course. Oz aides say that their candidate opposes abortion, but supports exceptions for rape, incest, and to protect the life of the mother. So, as I have explored today, Democrats are feeling very, very cocky, and they're feeling particularly cocky about their chances in Pennsylvania. Should they feel cocky? Are we going to help them feel cocky? Can you imagine aiding and abetting what's going on right now in this country by aiding this, bolstering this, making them stronger by helping John Fetterman, a stroke patient, a deadbeat who's lived off of his rich parents his whole life and taxpayers? You imagine aiding that guy, that lunatic, bolstering and strengthening the most wacko progressive politics this country's ever seen? Can you imagine hanging back and saying, I don't like Oz? I literally cannot imagine someone being that small. I can't.
It's Mike Gallagher. Join me this morning at 9 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now let's get you back to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with the great Chris DeGaulle.
They're poking you. They're doing it again. January 6th was a setup after Trump decided to speak. The FBI set up a kidnapping plot of the Michigan governor. They're just doing this again. That's what the Mar-a-Lago raid. They, bottom line, they want fringe types to make mistakes. They're goading fringe types. The narrative has been written, making you mad, hoping some reactionaries react badly to their bad behavior. We'll continue to lay the foundation that you see. Republicans and Trump voters, you see how destructive they are? They're goading you. They're provoking you. They've been provoking you. I mean, Hillary Clinton is selling hats and T-shirts right now that say, but her emails. Laughing and smiling about it. They think that's funny, funny, funny. Hunter Biden smiling and waving as they go on vacation to South Carolina. Hilarious to them. Middle finger in the air to you. They think it's so funny. And what they hope is that you and I will react in a wildly aggressive way that they will be able to point to and say, you see how these lunatics behave? I don't know. That's just as good a theory as any. Is it to give Biden an off-ramp? Is it to bolster Biden? Is it to make Biden bulletproof? Is it to enthuse Biden voters and Democrat voters? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. They're not talking. And so everybody has their own theories as to what this raid was about Monday. But there's a why. And it ain't because he's in possession of papers the National Archives wants, folks. That ain't the why. So you can fill in the blank as to why you think the why is the why. I've done my best this week. Greg's in Delaware. Hey, Greg, glad you called. What's on your mind today? Thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Chris. One thing that I haven't heard yet is what was the clause that the media and some of the left were shouting when President Trump was in power, and any time a dignitary or somebody would go visit a hotel or one of his kids was doing business? What was the name of that clause? Was it the Emoluments Clause?
That's right. Just the very nature of staying at the Trump Hotel made their heads explode. You're right.
Yeah. So how come we don't hear anything with this with Hunter Biden with all that? I mean, it just, you know, I don't know. It's aggravating. And if there's a red wave coming this November and the Republicans do pick up, they better grow a set and grow a spine and do what they promised they were going to do, or there's going to be H-E double hockey sticks to pay. I'm tired of this. Oh, we have to be better than them, and we get ahead by being better than them. No, they've been continuously firing the first shots. It's time to fire back and go after them all.
Do you have any reason that you wouldn't vote this year?
I have no reason why I wouldn't vote. In fact, I just moved from New Jersey to Delaware, and because I couldn't take the corrupt voting in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I plan to go out this November and vote in Delaware.
I got a note, and I'm so thanks very much for your call, Greg. I appreciate you. Friend of mine was, he runs a business. He said our business has already felt the initial impacts of inflation, and he was explaining to me how it's hit their particular company. We have contracts, and so we can't immediately raise prices. So they have contracts with customers. They've just got to eat it. So all the people, I don't know. I don't think they'd mind me sharing this. I was just talking with my friends at Chapman, Mike and Mark Chapman, Chapman Windows, Doors, Siding, and Stucco Remediation. So maybe last year they gave you an estimate on replacing your windows or your doors. Guess what happens when manufacturers of those doors they're waiting to install in my house and they've given me an estimate and I sign off on it and say, yes, I can't wait for these fabulous new doors. And then the manufacturers call up Mike and Mark and they say what?
Well, guess how much it costs now.
Yeah, these doors are much more expensive now than we were charging you, so we're going to need it. Now, can Mike and Mark call up me as a Chapman customer and go, hey, about that estimate you signed, I'm going to have to hike your estimate. I'm going to have to charge you more than I told you. You can't do that.
No.
So what do you have to do? You eat it. So my friend says we must additionally meet certain levels of profitability to remain in our business, as well as meet our banking and fiscal requirements. The only way to meet these conditions to offset the increase in interest rates and the proposed tax increases, let alone the significant increases in hourly pay rates, utility costs, fuel, transportation, is just to stop hiring and reduce headcount and stop traveling and stop capital investing in buildings and equipment. And we've already taken those actions. This is just the beginning. The U.S. economy and the middle class and lower middle class are going to feel the impacts of this administration's stupidity and arrogance very soon and very significantly. Zero inflation. Who are they kidding? The general population, that's us, has no idea how bad things are about to get, says my business manager friend of a company who is telling me no one sees what's going on internally right now in companies like I've just described. They don't see it, but it's coming. In Drexel Hill, it's John. Hello, John.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you today?
Well, doing lovely. I feel like I should have heard this from being shouted from all the rooftops, and I haven't. Sandy Berger, at the behest of the Clintons, got caught literally with his pants down at the National Archives, stuffing documents into his socks and pants.
Right.
And the Democrats back then said, oh, it's just sloppiness. It's sloppiness. There's no crime. There's no reason to pursue anything. So why are we not hearing all those quotes again of the same people now saying it was justified to raid a house, that they're not being pinned to the wall for what they said previously, that a person literally stuffing documents down his pants and in his socks to steal them from the National Archives was just sloppiness?
That's right, and as if Trump packed up the documents himself and said, ooh, I can't have this laying around, and physically packed up a box and had it sent to Mar-a-Lago on his own, which is just such a stupid...
He didn't try to hide anything on the way out. His whole moving crew placed documents in boxes and moved them out. He wasn't stuffing them in pants.
And most of all, most importantly, the FBI has had access to Mar-a-Lago, has been in there. Over the weeks and months, and he's physically greeted these people to come in and rifle through this stuff. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised. He's actually a very cordial, welcoming person.
Yeah, no, there was a story that says in June, the FBI wanted to look at several documents that had been shipped to Mar-a-Lago from the White House, and he said, come on in. And under supervision of his lawyers while he was there. In fact, and I guess at one point he physically went down into the room where these documents are held and greeted them and said, hey, fellas, ladies, can I help you? Make yourself comfortable. You want a tea? You know, I mean, like, couldn't have been cooler to them. Like, they're not banning access to these things is the point. So, of course, the answer to your broader question and your broader point is the reason nobody's explaining this as sloppiness is because it's really not about those documents at all, is it?
Right. Well, if he was smart, he would put up on his Twitter or somewhere, say, this is what they found. And he should put the open court testimony where Fusion GPS admitted the whole Russian collusion hoax was created by them and that it was paid for by the Clintons. That's all in open testimony. That's what he should put up, and he'll get the entire media to take a look at it because they haven't looked at it yet. But it's public record.
John, thank you very, very much. I appreciate your call today, 610-850-0990. Let's go to Philadelphia, talk to John. John, hello.
Oh, another John. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
I called because my brother Kev always says, you got to listen, you got to listen, you got to listen. So I finally tuned in a little bit.
Well, I hope I didn't disappoint.
No, you don't. I love the school idea. I really do. Except I want to do a national boycott of all the colleges, too.
Oh, that's, yes, that would be wonderful. I hope defunding the colleges come next.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's just ridiculous. Like, one of my daughters is $130,000 in debt. I mean, it's, you know, because I wanted her to go to Westchester, but she wanted to go to St. Joe's, you know? So the wife signed off when the Parents Plus loans, you know what I mean? Not me.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, and what is she doing now? Has she graduated?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. She's a server, you know?
Like in a restaurant?
A server, yeah, yeah. The English major. No, I don't take anything away from her. She just wants to do that, but
no, I'm not. I don't mean to denounce it. Yeah. I think you said she had $130,000 in debt.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
It's coming up, you know, and I'm supposed to work two jobs, and you know, and when my wife can't help do the payments, you know, I'll be in, you know, Arizona with you.
John, it's great to hear from you, my friend. I am running out of time. I'm flatly out of time, as a matter of fact, but I am so grateful that you listen. I hope you stay in touch. Give me a ring back. Glad I didn't disappoint.
This is WNTP Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. 3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.